This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone. It's another miserable weekend. What's going on with the weather here? Ty Polk behind the glass. I'm Bob Pompiani at 412-928-9370. That's the number to call as we get ready for another weekend, and hopefully the sun will shine at some point here, because I know that most of the pools, which open on Memorial Day, have not been used. It's been rainy, it's been cold, it's been yucky all the way around, and hopefully that will change. But we're not here talking about the weather. Our job is to talk sports and to engage you at 412-928-9370. So we will get into a lot of things. And something as yucky as the weather was what happened last night in Petco Park in San Diego, where the Pirates lost 3-2, but quite frankly, got screwed out of a potential win, at least, because of some inexperienced umpire who was called up, and his name is Edwin Jimenez. If you missed the game last night and didn't see this, the Pirates were down 3-2 in the eighth inning, and I know Austin talked a lot about this, but it's the topic of the day. Bases were loaded, two outs, Henry Davis facing Robert Suarez, who can bring it at 100 miles an hour. Well, Davis put together pretty good at bats. 3-2 pitch was clearly below the knees, 99 miles an hour. And the umpire, instead of allowing it to be ball four in a tie game, and the Pirates continued to hit with the bases loaded, called it a strike three. And it was immediately just everyone who watched the game, both dugouts knew it was the wrong call. But, you know, Jimenez had a lot of wrong calls in that game. If you watched it from start to finish, as I did, you saw the strike zone moving all over the place. Very difficult to be a batter in that case, because you pride yourself on knowing where the strike zone is and how to manipulate around the strike zone, plate awareness, that sort of thing. And yet, Henry Davis did everything he could in a very nice at bat, I thought, to draw a walk. Instead, they called a third strike. They end up losing 3-2. Now, some people have gone crazy here and talking about, you know, it's what should happen. No, there should be consequences. There's no question. Anytime an umpire doesn't do his job. And it makes me wonder how long it will take for baseball to put together the ABS system, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's called the Automated Ball Strike System. And that they have used that. They did a little bit of it in spring training this year, and they have used it in the minor leagues. And this is a system that still involves umpires. So you'll see umpires, but teams can challenge calls. And if a team challenges, the ABS system then uses technology to kind of determine if the pitch was within the electronic strike zone. Now, that strike zone, you know, it's kind of electronically used for different batters at different times. In other words, if you're a smaller hitter, it changes. It just makes sure that whatever your strike zone is electronically used for you. So as they used it in spring training, the ABS challenge system, I believe was only two challenges awarded. Now, I think that may be lower. That should be maybe more. And again, the umpire makes the call. But if you believe you've been wronged, like last night, that would have been a perfect time for Donnie Kelly to say, hey, I'm going to use my challenge system here. And he would have been right, and the Pirates would have gotten a run. It's important to note that the players involved here on the field can initiate this challenge, whether it is the batter, whether it is the catcher, or whether it is the pitcher. If they have a legitimate beef, they can use it. So same like replay system, if your challenge is successful, the team retains a challenge. But I don't know that two is enough, quite frankly. If you were at the game last night and saw Edwin Jimenez behind home plate, you would have said you need 100 challenges. Five is a good where to start. I think that would be good. Maybe too many. People will complain, well, you're adding time to the game. Well, the pitch clock has certainly changed things for the better that way. But in any event, they got to do something about egregiously missed calls. And I'm willing to say that, you know, in this offseason, because of this particular call, and I'm sure there are others around the league, you know, they will certainly bring it up and try to consider it strongly for next year. At least they should. That's what I think. It was just too important of an at-bat to let an umpire make that decision. Donnie Kelly got thrown out for the third time in his short tenure here, and he needed to get thrown out. Andrew McCutchen went through a stare down with the umpire, who never stared back. Yeah, I was thinking, Ty Polk, of some of these other calls over the years that you weren't even alive probably when Randy Marsh was doing his thing and the Pirates got squeezed at the plate. When were you born?
1995.
Okay, so you missed all of that. But Randy Marsh had a floating strike zone that really hurt the Pirates, I thought, in some of their playoff runs. Jerry Meals, do you remember that?
Wasn't that the infamous 2011?
That was the 19-inning game in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
The Pirates had an obvious out at home plate, and it was so obvious, and yet Jerry Meals called the guy safe. I mean, listen, umpires make mistakes. I get that. But you should never make that egregious of a mistake in some of these games that are, too close. And these guys work hard to get wins, and you're taking it out of their hands. So, anyway, I think that's going to be a big topic today. And do you like the ABS system? Would you want it to see it next year in Major League Baseball? We'll get into that. But listen, I'm not making excuses for the Pirates. They also struck out 14 times. They did not come up with key hits when they needed key hits. It wasted another good effort by Mitch Keller, who's now 1-7. But that record is so misleading. He allowed just 3 runs, 3 hits, and 7 innings. And over his last 10 starts, his ERA is sub-3. It's 2.92, I believe, something of that nature. And yet he has nothing to show for it in the win column. And they have let these kind of efforts go all season long, which is why they need hitting, more hitting, and as quickly as they can get to hitting. And again, it undermines just how bad this offseason was in terms of their evaluation of hitting and what they thought their team could do, because it hasn't done it. Now, they had an explosion in Arizona with that big inning, and Henry Davis had a big play in that. I've been harping on this from the beginning, that he should play a lot more than he is, and hopefully he will continue to do that. And this is not to say that Joey Bart doesn't have value here, I mean, because he's also a younger guy who was a high-end draft pick with a lot of pedigree, but it's nice to get Henry Davis going, and if they keep riding him, I think you'll see some progress there. He had a pretty good May compared to what we're used to seeing from him. Nick Pivetta pitched very well, but again, the Pirates struck out 14 times in that game. And yes, some of them were aided by bad calls by Edwin Jimenez, but still, you got to do better than that. 412-928-9370. We'll also get into Steeler OTAs, the first of 2 weeks of them. They had 3 this week, 3 next week. It used to be 9, now it's 6, and they'll continue. There is no Aaron Rodgers. There is no T.J. Watt. There was no D.K. Metcalf. T.J. Watt is still a subject of what the Steelers will do with him, which I believe they'll sign him. But the question is, how much money are they willing to give in his direction? He's 30 years old. It's a big topic around town, certainly, because the Steelers need T.J. Watt, but they also know he's getting up there, and they have a lot of other issues to deal with. How much money, given the fact that guys like Max Crosby and guys like Myles Garrett got very big pay raises, and that only means that T.J. Watt will expect similar, if not more than both. So therefore, that will be something that drags on. And keep in mind, this is something that was not satisfied the last time in 2021, I believe, when he got his last deal, and it was a $112 million deal. This is something that went into September. He did not show up for OTAs. He was there at minicamp. You might remember the, quote, hold-in that was going on. You might see a similar path here by T.J. Watt, but I think in the end they will sign him. But they need a lot more people defensively to step up to do what they need to do, which is stop the run game on a lot of these offenses that really do a heavy dose of it. And the Steelers saw that throughout the course of their season and into the postseason as well. So that's an interesting debate to have. And who has more leverage? Do you think the Steelers have more leverage? Or do you think Watt has more leverage? Keep in mind, he still has 1 year to serve on his contract, which means that he could hold out, but at some point he has to show up to get the year. And even if that happens, they still retain the rights as far as a franchise tag. They can do that if they want. But I don't think they want to go through that, so I think they will get a deal done. We'll see how much it is. We also got some interesting playoff stuff going on. The Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers will meet in the Stanley Cup Finals for the second year in a row. Interesting, if you believe in jinxes. I don't know if you do, but if you do or don't, call me at 412-928-9370. We saw this during the time of the Penguins with the Prince of Wales Trophy, whether you touch it, don't touch it, pick it up when you win it. Last year, Edmonton did not touch it, and they lost in the finals. This year, they decided to pick it up, not just touch it, but pick it up. And there were people in Rogers Place who were watching at a watch party in Edmonton who couldn't believe that Connor McDavid did that. What, do you believe that even matters? A lot of people do. The Panthers, a couple of years ago, they've been to the finals now 3 straight years. First time they touched it, they lost. Second time they didn't touch it. This time they didn't touch it either. So we'll talk about that in a big game tonight between the Knicks and Pacers. It's a game 6. Knicks have to win. They won game five at home. Pacers can close it out. Tell me what you think at 412-928-9370. But let's get things rolling by going to the phone lines. Mark in the car is first up. Mark, thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, you touched on a lot of things already. I'd just like to see them skip straight to calling all balls and strikes with the automated system. Instead of taking the time for the challenge, you outfit the umpires with a beeper or whatever, and boom, you have it instantaneously, and you don't need to mess with it. Obviously, you still need the home plate umpire to determine check swings, foul balls, plays at the plate, etc. But we've seen too many bad calls from too many home plate umpires on that strike zone.
Well, last night specifically, there were a ton of them. I mean, he was all over the place with that strike. And it makes it really difficult if you're a hitter to try to figure out what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's why I'd just like to see him go straight to it. I'm sure it would be a bit of an adjustment on the part of pitchers and hitters because they've gotten accustomed to umps call certain things or whatever. But it wouldn't take long and everybody'd recognize now we have a firm strike zone. And I think that would be good for the game.
I don't think you're going to get your wish. I do think eventually, and it may be next year, I think it should be, this ABS system will come into play, and that's where it will start. If they find success in it, they'll keep it. If not, then they'll tweak it even more. So you might get your wish down the road, but I don't think it'll start that way.
No, I don't imagine it will either, but hey, I'm accustomed to not getting what I want. I am a Pirate fan, after all.
Thanks, Mark. That's the line of the morning. I appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Let's move along. Greg in Youngstown. He watched the game last night, I'm sure, and I'm sure he has some very big takes. What's up, Greg?
Yeah, that umpire that was behind the plate last night, was he a replacement umpire?
He was called up. I don't know. Somebody was either not available and they brought him up.
Okay, here's my point. Those guys should not be allowed to be calling balls and strikes at a game.
That's a good idea. Put him on the base pass and don't allow him to do it if he's not ready. And they should have known. I don't know what his history is, so I have no idea if he's like that in the minors or not.
Yeah, that's the most important umpire in a game.
Right.
So, I mean, I blame baseball. See, here's the problem with baseball. The reason why we have a pitch clock is because the umpires didn't enforce the rules about getting into the box. They could have called strikes on so many batters for screwing around outside the box. Again, they let these guys make bad calls and not discipline them, or they put a guy who's from AAA behind the plate. They caused their own issues. And then here's what they should have done, what they should do. I don't want to see automation because I like the beauty of the sport. You know, there has to be – nothing's perfect, and that's why baseball's so good. But you should be able to challenge two calls. A pitcher should challenge two, and the hitter could challenge two from the manager. Not the hitter, but the manager. So at least the manager could have challenged that one at the end of the game. I mean, it's so stupid. You're not allowed to challenge a strike call. I mean, at least get one chance or two chances. See, again, baseball, they cause their own issues. Now, everybody wants to automate a strike zone because they just want to put in place challenging at least one or two strikes a game. I mean, you know it's true. They always do the complete opposite. Then they have to go the other complete opposite, and it ruins the game.
I hear you, Greg, and I think they will do something next year. It's going to be a slow start to it. It won't be, on every single pitch, and you won't, like the previous caller Mark said, it's not going to be that, but it will be something that we saw in spring training. But I do believe since they start down there with two challenges, you need more challenges if you're going to do it that way. You can't just – because early in the game there could be a critical point. You don't want to be guilty, and if you're right with your challenge, you do retain it and you keep moving on. But I think two's too low of a number. I would have more.
Yeah. One more thing about Swinski. I've been watching these AAA games, and our AAA team stinks. The field players stink. But Swinski's coming through right now. It's time to bring him back up and say, listen, this is your last chance because we need another power bat, left-handed power bat. I'm so tired of fam. I mean, there has to be some decision made on this. And I think Swinski's starting to hit. I saw he has like six or seven home runs in the minors. Bring him up. Tell him, hey, look, this is your last chance. If you don't do it, you're gone. But they have to have one more power bat in this lineup, and I think he's the only choice they have right now.
Yeah, Tommy Pham has still zero home runs. De'Bryan Hayes has one home run. I think Canario has showed me some. I'd like to see more of him because he has three home runs in the short time he's played here, and I think that's something to work on. He's only 24.
Yeah, exactly. And last thing is they're going to have to make a trade, and they're going to have to trade a pitcher. They're going to have to trade one of their pitchers, and I don't know who it's going to be, AAA, AA, on the roster. They're going to have to trade somebody for a legit bat. That's the only choice they got because they don't want to sign free agents. It's never going to happen. So they're going to have to make a trade.
So well, they're going to have to do something at some point. When the obituary is written for this season, it'll all be about lack of hitting, and they missed the boat on doing anything in the offseason. Thanks, Greg, for the call. They're going to have to do that in the offseason, whether it's trade, whether it's spend more money, and he should spend more money. There's no reason to not spend money, given what they're making. There was a report this week by Bob Nightingale that says the Pirates made $40 million last year, despite how bad they were. I know they make money, and they make money every year, and that's fine. But you also have an obligation to do more with that money, and that money should go to your roster specific, nowhere else. This revenue-sharing money that they get. Let's go to Dante and Sewickley, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Dante, what's up?
Yeah, hey, Bob. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How are you doing?
Doing good. How about you? I just want the sun to come up once in a while.
What'd you say once in a while?
Sun. We need sun.
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. As soon as we get sun, we're going to be on vacation in a couple of days, tomorrow. But, they never put me through to you anymore. Every time I call in, I can't get through to you. This is the first producer to do it in about 2 months. I love hearing you on Saturday morning.
Well, thanks, Dante. Thanks, Ty Polk, for that. But go ahead. What's up?
I love this subject matter about getting Major League Baseball better. I mean, they've done a good job with the clock and the base paths and the bigger bases and things like that. I think they've made a better product. I think this whole idea of not using modern technology to get balls and strikes right, I mean, I think that's craziness. I remember, I'm not making this up, 40, 45 years ago, people actually talking about it back then that the technology existed. I just don't know why you wouldn't want to use it for every single ball and strike. I have no idea why. But I'm glad to see they're making progress on it. And the one thing I want to hear you guys talk about a little bit more about improving baseball, I've heard little sound bites for the last couple months, different people on this station talking about what might happen with regards to a salary cap and a floor. And I really am curious about that, if there's any cracks where that might improve or get better.
The crack coming up, Dante, is going to be December of 2026. That's when the CBA ends, and there's been a lot of chatter about whether or not the owners would have the onions to go out and say, okay, we're locking you guys out. We need a new deal. We're going to have this. But it would take a majority of them to think that way, and I don't think they have a majority who will do that. Too many times teams like the Pirates and smaller markets, if you want to call them smaller in this business, they're okay with what they get in terms of revenue. And as I said, Nightingale said the Pirates made $40 million last year, even when they don't win or contend. So you're making money no matter what. But the question is competitive balance. How do you achieve it? You can certainly make a case for teams like Cleveland, Minnesota, Oakland, teams that have done this, Tampa. But it's hard to win a championship, and you have to do it like sort of one every 5 years. And then you have to, it takes too long. There should be a sustained level of competition here, and the only way for me to see that is through a salary cap floor ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. The only way it's going to make any sense for it to change is if the majority of the owners see that their fortunes are better. And the way it seemed to come about in the other leagues was revenue sharing and broadcasting. I don't know why more teams feel like they're doing better under the current structure than they would otherwise, but
because teams like the Dodgers, everything they make, they keep. That includes parking. The Pirates do not get parking concessions, to my knowledge. That's a different business part of it. So, and even the television numbers, the local television package out there in LA, or if you even look at Arizona, they're 20 times what the Pirates make. And so they get to keep that money. They don't share it. I think there's a way to come to some agreement here, but it may get ugly before it gets better.
Yeah, that's a shame. Well, all right, keep us apprised of that, too. And it's good to hear your voice. You're a good man. Thank you,
Dante. You, too. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. We'll continue talking about what happened last night with Henry Davis and the Pirates in the top of the eighth inning. Also, just the fact that they've been wasting so much pitching, and they have more pitching on the way. And you wonder about Bubba Chandler. How long will he be down there? Now that they've fallen completely out of this thing, I don't think there's a rush to get him up here. Is that right or wrong? What would you do with Bubba Chandler at 412-928-9370? And what do you think the outcome with TJ Watt's contract situation will be? 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I also delve into the NBA. I like to do that. I get Ty's feeling on that as we move along. That and the NHL playoffs are winding down. Stanley Cup final is set. Penguins still looking for a coach, but the list has been narrowed. We'll get into all that and more as we continue right here on a rainy but hopefully soon to be sunny Saturday. We're right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're back with more right here until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. I want to first tell you that our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Check out their virtual wallet. It is terrific. It helps you out in so many ways. Brilliantly boring, as I would like to say about what they do. They just get it done and make your life easier. Number one, Cochrane, go one better, ride in style. 20 different Cochrane locations all throughout Western Pennsylvania and Ohio. They got some great stuff going on there. Check them out and check out our number one Cochrane Sports Showdown every Sunday night, 11:35 on KDKA TV. And tomorrow night will be no different. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, where they've got your back and notch your wallet. Unless they play golf with you. And then those Shendorovich twins, they go to work. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're talking about the Pirates and what happened to them last night, in case you missed it. 3-2 pitch to Henry Davis in the top of the eighth with the bases loaded. Was a clear ball way below the knees, and yet it was called a strike three by Edwin Jimenez, and that changed the entire game. That would have tied the game at 3-3 with the Pirates still batting. Instead, it became 3-2, and then in the ninth inning, they couldn't muster much, and they lose 3-2, so they still haven't had a three-game win streak since last September, and this was the opportunity to do it against a very good San Diego Padres team. And by the way, Patai, did you like their uniforms, their City Connect uniforms? Very colorful out there in San Diego. I kind of like them.
Yeah, pretty nice. I mean, I really like that San Diego embraced their old history with the brown and gold. It's a very rarely used color in sports. I mean, of course, you have Cleveland with brown and orange. But that City Connect, it's definitely an eye catcher.
Oh, it's got pink, yellow, green, all kinds of things. So I thought it was fine. I know a lot of people didn't like it, thought it was a little bit too much. But hey, City Connect, and they come up with different things to make you interested, and they also try to get your money, and that's one way to get it, to put up something new, and people love to get it. Speaking of people spending money on uniforms and jerseys, how about Edmonton? They will host game one of the Stanley Cup final, and that's one place where, if you've ever been there, everybody in the stands has an Edmonton jersey on. It's unbelievable how much they spend on that stuff. They're passionate about their teams. Of course, they won all those Stanley Cups back in the Gretzky-Messier days. And they beat Dallas again for the second series in a row. And Dallas had some goaltending issues. They also just, I mean, I gained a lot of respect for Edmonton as this whole thing went on, because they were just clamped down. They did not allow more than two shots in the final 19 minutes of a desperation Dallas team at home in that last game six. It was unbelievable what they did to him to shut him down. You got guys like Corey Perry, who's 40 years old, doing what he's doing. This Edmonton team is very capable of beating Florida. They lost to them last year. If you remember, that was a series that went 3-0, and then Edmonton stormed back. I think they're going to get some experience from that. McDavid seems to be on a different level right now. And don't forget, they have guys like Kasperi Kapanen right now contributing to them. He's had a couple of big plays in that game. I mentioned Perry, but it's a deep team, and they got some really good defensive players on that team as well who've given a lot. So I think that's going to be a seven-game series, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that if you want to talk about that. Also, the Pacers and the Knicks, it's must-win for New York. On the road, can they do it against a Pacers team that's gotten a lot of production out of guys like Pascal Siakam? Tyrese Halliburton has been their key. Aaron Nesmith has been terrific. And others, T.J. McConnell. I mean, giving them a spark every time he comes off the bench. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Mike in Whitehall, who joins us here on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Okay. Hey, I was just wondering about Brian Reynolds, because he started to hit a little better. And I'm wondering, because, you know, the trade deadline, if it's, say, he continues to hit in the next month plus, I would personally trade him, because people used to say, well, he's one of your young core hitters, but this team is miles and miles away from even being good, you know. And I don't think – I mean, he may not admit it, but I got to believe he can't be happy here. I mean, he wants to go to a winner. What do you think?
He's kind of a silent guy. I think he signed his contract with the belief they can do it. I think Paul Skeens has been more vocal of late, saying that he came here to get this done. Now, they still have time. This is what I'll say to you, Mike. I think with the prospects of Chandler and then Jones coming back from his surgery and others on this pitching staff, they next year will have, if not the best, one of the best pitching staffs in the National League as far as starters. Again, then you see what they'll do in this offseason. They can quickly turn this thing around. You have a window with Paul Skeens, and for that matter, Chandler, once he gets up here. Take advantage of it by going out and doing things that would help your offense, whatever that may be. Because I think there'll be look at that. They lead the National League in one-run games. Most of them have been losses. One-run games can change if you have some offense, and they have not had enough offense.
You know, that's the big problem with the offense. I've learned, though, over the years, I remember, like, let's say, I think it was the Bengals years back, way back. They would lose a lot of close games, and people would say, they're competitive. They're not far away. I've learned over the years with teams in any sport, when you lose a lot of close games in the long run, you're a bad team because you're not good enough.
Well, I'm not saying they're a good team. They're a bad team. Most of it is offense related and some bullpen failures there. But I think Brian Reynolds is, he signed a long-term deal. They're paying him. They're not going to trade him anytime unless they believe that they need so much younger talent there. And he's come back to where, he's 31, 32 RBIs now. He went through that terrible beginning of his season, worse than normal. But he's now back to being what he is. They need other guys. He's not the problem. Not Henry Davis. Well, he has been part of it. He needs to get better. But Key Brian Hayes is a problem. Tommy Pham is a problem. They need power.
I'm with Pham. He shouldn't even have one more bat for them. That's my opinion. But unfortunately, they're paying him what they're paying him. So
but that's not a reason to keep him if he's not doing a job.
Oh, no, I agree. But
then again, it sends a message out there. The Pirates will sign you, and if you're not doing it, though, there's always messages to be delivered. I don't believe any of them. I believe that if you sign, your obligation is to play. And he has no home runs and 8 runs batted in, and we're deep into the season already. So.
All right, have a good one.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. Brian Reynolds has gotten it together. McCutcheon's done okay, too. O'Neill Cruz, I think one of the best parts about this is that O'Neill Cruz is kind of tapped into that enormous potential we see. He's on pace to become a 30-30 player. That's what people think. They need to find other bats. It's as simple as that. And they have to do it in whatever way they can because they're going to waste this. They already wasted this season when it comes to pitching. They have a lot of good starting pitching. They have games that they should have won. And, their record is what it is, but it could be much better and in contention for a wild card had they won half of those games they've lost because they had no hitting. So that's where I'm on with the Pirates. But they're not a good team match constructed. They need more help. But the pitching is there. Paul Skeens should win the Cy Young. I don't care what his record says. He should win the Cy Young this year based on how this is trending for him. He hasn't given up more than 6 hits in any of the games he has started since he started here last year. You believe that? That just has not happened. He hasn't done it. He's been terrific, and I hate to see wasted because that's what's happened to him. They've been wasted. 412-928-9370. Today, another guy who's been pitching well is Bailey Falter. Not so much the last outing, but he's been pitching well. Dylan Cease is on the mound for San Diego, and Dylan Cease is a good player. He is a very good pitcher. So we'll see what the Pirates can do against him after they had those two games of outburst of offense in Arizona. 412-928-9370. We got Dan joining us right now in Pittsburgh. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to tell you how honored I am to talk to a real legend in broadcasting all over the country, yet alone Pittsburgh.
You're very kind to say that. That means I've been around for a long time, but thank you, Dan.
Yeah, and I get so upset when Joe Starkey gets on your case. He needs to realize who he's talking to.
Oh,
but anyhow,
it's all good and fun and games, you know. Yeah. And then Austin chirps in every now and then. And you know, Austin makes comments about me. Well, no, he doesn't. We like the camaraderie there.
Two things real quick. I wanted to know what's the status of Gonzalez lately. I mean, where did he go? And that last out of the game where Pham didn't run out the play, I mean, like, the guy came off the base. He could have been on first base with two outs. Like, to me, that lack of effort deserves a benching. I just wanted to get your thoughts on
that. I always believe that. I don't think, you know, now that strike, the throw was to the home plate side of first, so that kind of put him right into where Pham was. But it didn't seem to me like he was giving it all. I just want to see guys do that every single time. It's a simple request. If I'm Don Kelly, I make that. When I took over as manager, I'd say that's my one thing that I expect of all of you. Run everything out as fast as you can. I don't want to see it any other way. And here's the consequence. I'll tell you in advance. If you don't, you may not play the next day. So I'm going to make that clear. And I don't know if they have or haven't. Too many of these. You watch guys like Juan Soto run. Sometimes if he hits a ground ball anywhere, they're paying so much money to these guys. I don't think the player really tunes into that kind of stuff, which is a shame.
Well,
all right.
The whole staple of Pittsburgh is hustle, and you got to be a professional. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's the least you should be able to do. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. We have Carrie, who's on the line right now in Pittsburgh. Hello, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good.
Go ahead. Don't be afraid to talk here, Carrie. We'd love to have you on. All right. Radio shy maybe there, but call back if you'd like, Carrie. Let's go to Ken in Wexford. Hello, Ken.
Hi. Hey, thanks. I wanted to say that Paul Skeens is a singular talent, but as a lifelong Pirates fan, I would like to see him go to another team. He's being wasted here. It's a shame. It'd be like, you know, Koufax with the 53 Pirates or something. I mean, it's horrible.
Well, he's going to be traded eventually, Ken. In the meantime, he's going to be here. And when he's here, they owe it to everyone, including Skeens, to go out and surround him with more talent offensively.
Let me ask you this real quick question, and it's not a quick answer. How did we get to the point with collective bargaining, et cetera, you know, where they don't have revenue sharing in baseball? Why is it the only team? I mean, we're never going to be competitive, you know, with the ownerships.
You know, you have to go all the way back to Curt Flood and all that stuff that happened. And we're, you know.
Reserve clause.
Of it. And arbitration, I don't think is a good thing. Guarantee contracts were the biggest thing. When that happened, when they made every ounce of a contract signed guaranteed, it's not that way in NFL. It's sort of, there are some exceptions to that.
Well, signing up front bonus.
Yeah. Right. I don't mind that. What I don't like is an automatic guaranteed. Like if Ohtani has some sort of thing, they still owe him almost $1 billion, you know. So that doesn't make any sense to me. But they let that cat out of the bag. And once it's out of the bag, this is why I think in 2026 in December when this whole thing ends and the CBA comes to an expiration, they're going to have a fight on their hands, I think, in some ways. And owners have to show that they're willing to miss time in games. And players have to show, okay, we'll not play and we won't get paid and we'll see where this takes us. I don't know if we're going to have a work stoppage, but I think there's a chance. And if it happens, it could be real ugly.
I hope there is, because we got to change. You got to kill the village to save it.
Well, Ken, you may be right. Thank you. But, you know, I mean, guaranteed contracts were just terrible once they allowed that. I'm not a big fan of weight clauses, too. I see those in contracts sometimes. So it's understood that if you're a professional athlete, you should make weight. You shouldn't have to have incentives to keep your weight down. And they're going to pay you to do this. A lot of this stuff comes in. These agents get away with this stuff. And I just, if I were owners, and that's why I think when you look at the NFL and Deshaun Watson and what happened up there, Jimmy Haslam, a lot of the owners looked at him and said, what are you doing? This is a precedent now that you set that could hurt the rest of the league. So it's going to get somewhat ugly, I imagine. You'll hear rhetoric starting in the spring, heading into next year as well. 412-928-9370 is the number. We're due for a break and a Ty Polk headline. We'll come back. More of your calls until 1 o'clock right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. It's a Saturday in Pittsburgh, and soon the U.S. Open will be here at Oakmont. They're playing the Memorial this week in Dublin, Ohio. And boy, the rain was just persistent yesterday. We've had so much. All these roughs are so thick, and Oakmont's going to be a beast if you get into the rough. It'll make a big difference, and those who hit the ball straight should have a distinct advantage of that. But Scotty Scheffler is three off the lead, which right now belongs to Ben Griffin at minus seven. He's been terrific. And also, who's up there? Nick Dunlap, I think, is also minus seven. And then you have Akshay Batia at minus five. Also last night, the Pittsburgh Riveters, the female soccer team in Pittsburgh, got off to another good start as they beat Flower City last night. So they win 2-0. They're 2-1-1, second in their division. And tonight, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds back in action at Highmark Stadium. And last night, it was just a nonstop rain for the ladies. Hopefully, that won't be the case tonight. Pittsburgh takes on Rhode Island. And they're healthy for the first time in a long time. So we'll see what goes on there. But that should be a fun night at Highmark Stadium. We carry most of the games on KDKA Plus if you are interested, and hopefully a big year for both those soccer teams. Back to the lines we go at 412-928-9370, and that is Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Bob. Bob, when you look at the Pirates situation, a shutdown, I don't know what it would do with Nutting. I mean, he has no really interest in and making this team a winner. And when you're an owner, see, here's two things that would have to happen for the Pirates. The commissioner gets involved, tells them to sell it, and sell it to a billionaire type, like what happened with the New York Mets, who were struggling financially until a billionaire came in. Money means nothing to them. They want to win. See,
and they want the fame that comes with winning also, because right. In most cases, a lot of those billionaire businessmen are the nameless gray faces, as Tomlin would like to say. No one knows who they are. They hear their names. But this way, you become Jerry Jones, you know, and a popular figure.
Similar to what you saw in basketball. The Clippers were a horrible franchise. They had a rich owner, but he had no interest in winning. That Ballmer comes in. Money's no expense. He built his own arena, and he keeps all the profits. That's what would have to happen here. You'd have to get a billionaire who has several billions or more.
Well, Bob Nutting is a billionaire. Bob Nutting is a billionaire.
Yeah, but he's not. He's a billionaire in name only. I thought of a billionaire who's willing to say, I got a couple extra billion, I'm going to buy.
So you want someone who has about $50 billion and doesn't care where the money ends up.
Yeah, a David Tepper type.
Right. Well, he's not having a very good run down there in Carolina.
But he probably would have had a better run if he'd have bought the Pirates.
Yeah, but again, they have to be for sale first. I don't know what the price tag would be. I know what their value is, and Mr. Nutting doesn't seem to be interested in selling it.
Well, that's shame on us then, because we should be forcing him to. Because what he's done, look, Bob, for the past 40 years, and you've seen this team is similar to what we saw in 85 when they had Jogging George and Amos Otis. And I mean, come on, man, it wasn't worth seeing. But then remember, they had good pitching like Tudor and McWilliams. And
right. Zane Smith was one, Drabeck, Smiley.
Yeah. But remember when Thrift took over, he had some dead weight on the team, and he didn't play him. He said, I got to pay him, but I ain't got to play him. You remember that comment?
Yeah, I do. Sid Thrift was a different breed.
Hey, Bob, here's what's really hurt the Pirates. When they did have assets to trade, they didn't get anything quantity in return. You know, Gerrit Cole, you should still have players, young players,
right,
from that trade.
Absolutely.
Jamison Tyon, you should still have young players from that trade. Josh Bell. They don't do like the Tampas and other small markets. When they make a big, they have an asset that large as Gerrit Cole, they get four or five top prospects back from that franchise who wanted them that bad.
Right.
And the Pirates don't
just like Washington did when they traded Juan Soto. They have three guys now in their lineup, and two of them are All-Stars.
Right. So whose fault is that? That's the incompetent owner who keeps hiring incompetent front office people. And who pays the price? The Pirates.
In the meantime, given all of that is true, we've had those conversations before, though, Anthony. Do you at least acknowledge, I mean, I'm looking at strictly from what the reality is, they have some elite pitching here now and will have more on the way. They have a window. It's a short window, but it's a window. So it's incumbent upon them to go out, and they missed already They already missed this past offseason. It's incumbent upon them to do something. They're not going to trade Skeens now anyway, but they will eventually. So they have time to do something.
Yeah, but I don't trust this group to do it.
Well, Charrington still, you know, he's going to be calling the shots on this draft, and at the trade deadline, he will be calling the shots.
Well, then we're going to be in trouble again. I mean, this is where you hire. They should have hired us. Hire a guy from Boston who's used to having resources. Hire a guy from Tampa, the second in charge of Tampa, who knows how to work the small market system. That's been their downfall. You know, right now I would trade Mitch Keller and Henry Davis to get me a top prospect. Maybe at the trade deadline, when one of the contenders say, "Man, we could really do well with a Keller and a young catcher. We got a prospect that's hitter that can't get in because we're the Chargers. We got hitters all over." That's what you got to do, Bob.
All right. Thanks. Agree. They got to use some assets to get some. Real quick, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers? I haven't talked to you in a while. Before I let you go, I just could not resist asking you about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it's not coming. I told the fellows 2 months ago.
So you're of the belief that he's just toying around and he's going to retire?
Yeah, he's not coming here. Because, Bob, nothing would have prevented him when he came in March, whatever that was it March or April, when he was here for that little 6 hours to sign a contract. He could have still had all this time off until it would come for mandatory minicamp. He did none of that. And he's playing these games. And I blame Tomlin. If this season goes awry, this should probably be where the minority owner says, what do we got to do here? He has to go.
Yeah, I mean, this is if he doesn't come here. Now, let me ask you one again. Give me 30 seconds. If he does, what is your expectation?
10-7.
Same.
The guy I saw last year, he didn't look any better than what we saw from Mason Rudolph 2 years ago.
Anthony, thanks. I appreciate the take, as always. Anthony in Oakland. Let's go to Bob in Indiana, who joins us right now. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Bob, how are you?
All right. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to go down memory lane just a second with you. Then I have a question for you about the 26 contract coming up. We were at Neville Wood back in the early 2000s at that Lemieux tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the year that Michael Jordan came. Well, yeah, I always thought it was very nice that when my sons and I were walking, they were little kids at the time. Now they're 30 years old, and you stopped and talked with us. You were in a golf cart driving around, and you took the time to talk with us for like 5 minutes. I always thought that was pretty cool.
I love doing that, but that was a great tournament too, Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
A lot of access, which I like too.
Yes, it was. My question has to do with the CBA coming up. What do you see if lightning were to strike and there would be a salary cap and a salary floor? What do you see happening to the big teams? Like, do you see them having to phase in like the upper amount so that, I mean, they just can't say, okay, now the salary cap's $200 million. When a team is spending $300 million, they'd have to cut players. How would they phase that in?
Well, that's why they're going to fight against it. And that's why I think the internal problem to start with would be these owners. Everyone has a different agenda. They all make money, so that's not the question. The question is, how much money do you want to make? And a bigger question is the competitive balance that you see on the field. It's difficult. I always say this. It's a simple kind of take on this, but do you ever hear any of the teams in the NFL refer to a small market? No, you don't.
Right.
How about any of the teams right now? Hockey went through this. Is there a small market? No, there isn't. You have Edmonton playing, and then in the NBA, it's the same thing. They could figure things out. So I think they need to use one of those as a cookie cutter example of why you need competitive balance. Some of these owners at the top are not going to like it. They make all the money. They have to funnel money to teams like the Pirates. I'm sure they don't like that. So there's going to be an internal fight on their hand before it ever comes to a change in the system.
And before they changed hockey, look where the Penguins were at.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It was good for everyone involved, and you all have the same kind of expectations about what you spend. And then it puts pressure on the GM more than anyone else to make deals and try to save money, cut money, bring money in, whatever it takes to make it all work. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, and I like that aspect of it.
And to me, you need the Pirates, you need the Cincinnati Reds, and
all of them to be healthy markets competitively.
What kind of league would you want when you only have like 10 teams playing in all of baseball because everybody else folded?
Right. No, I hear you. Thanks, Bob. Hopefully something happens, but that's going to be next year in December. We'll see. One more call before we go to break, And that would be Bob in Millvale. Bob, what's going on?
How you doing, Bob? Big fan, big fan.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I think there's a couple moves the Pirates can make right now to help out. I think Gorski should definitely be on this team.
Well, they brought him up for a little bit. And, you know, now that Horwitz is here, there's really no place for him to play. Although Tommy Pham should not be playing ahead of him. I can tell you that. I'm tired of Tommy Pham and watching him play. He's been good defensively, but you brought him here for hitting, not bat.
Are they not?
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to hour number two of the program. Bob Pompiani, flanked by Joel Nelson. Jolie is in the house behind the glass at 412-928-9370. I want to thank PNC Bank for being our longtime sponsor of this program. Really appreciate it. Make today the day at PNC. Also, big thank you to Rob Cochran and all the good people at Number One Cochran, where you can go one better. 20 different franchises all throughout. They have great deals this time of year. Check them out at Number One Cochran and watch our Number One Cochran Sports Showdown every Sunday night at 11:35, including tomorrow night. Shenderovich, and Fishman. You know those guys. They got your back, never your wallet. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. All right, we got a lot to cover here. Started with the Pirates last night, how that umpire cost them a run at least. It could be more. It could have been another win. Henry Davis was victimized on a Robert Suarez ball that missed down low. It was a 3-2 count. He took it. Looked like he had a bases loaded walk and an RBI. It was called strike three by Edwin Jimenez. And then everyone couldn't believe it. Donnie Kelly gets ejected. Mitch Keller gets messed up again in terms of another good outing. He's 1-7. The record is so deceiving. That may be one of the biggest deceiving records I see right now, because in his last 10 starts, he has a 2.92 ERA, and yet Keller gets nothing to show for it. He only gave up 3 runs on 3 hits last night and 7 innings of work. That's good enough normally to win games, at least put them in contention. And it brings up the topic that has been hot over the last couple of years, and that's the ABS, the automated ball and strike zone system that they use. And they used it in the spring training session, and I think, you know, to large success. People like it. In the minor leagues, they've used it. Some of the key things, each team, if you imply, I think this needs to be changed, but each team would have 2 challenges. That is to say, a pitcher can initiate a challenge, a batter or a, a catcher, but you only get 2 challenges per game. I think that number should be elevated to 5. So we'll see. Challenges have got to be made immediately after the umpire's call. The umpire still be involved in this, but you have a challenge system in case you didn't like it. And last night would have been a perfect example of something you could have used to your benefit. And if the challenge is unsuccessful, of course, the team would then lose its challenge. If you're successful, you get to retain it, just like it is now. But I think it's time for that. I really do, after watching not just that call, but many calls throughout the course of the season with regard to balls and strikes. You don't eliminate umpires, you just help them. That's what this is all about. 412-928-9370. Tony and Butler, as promised, first caller in this hour. Tony, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to make 2 points. My first point is about people calling in saying that the commissioner should make Nutting sell the team. The commissioner does not make those decisions. The owners make decisions, and the commissioner just delegates. He does not have that authority. And I think the real problem, Bob, is that back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, owners were billionaires that bought baseball teams as a hobby. They wanted to win. They wanted to be competitive. Since then, the owners now are businessmen. They don't want to risk making or putting money into the team at a chance to make more money. They just want a guaranteed profit. There were 15 to 20 teams that do this. There were 14 teams that spent less than the revenue sharing amount on their payroll last year. And that's a serious problem across all of baseball.
Yeah, there's no question these guys are in the position they are because they're smart business people. And I'm never going to take that away. That's one of the reasons why you want it. But this is a different business. This is not a business. And I think to a previous caller, Anthony, I think, made this. There are a lot of guys out there who have billions of dollars and would like some notoriety, some more fame. Owning a sports team gives you that. You can't get that by owning any sort of business unless you're on, you know, C-SPAN talking to some, you know, business reporter. And this is something that puts you in a different stratosphere of fame and fortune. You got the fortune already. You don't have the fame. So, you know, I think it's a little bit different. But, yeah, these teams are comfortable with making money. I don't think there's any question about that. But the teams at the top who are paying the money to those teams can't be happy. And that's where you have your divide, I think.
Right. So the teams that are competitive now, why would they want the Pirates to have a different owner that would spend more money that would become competitive with them? They're perfectly happy to see the 14 teams that spent less than that revenue sharing on their payroll. That's 14 teams they don't have to worry about them being competitive with.
Well, here's one change. If nothing else changes, Tony, and thank you for the call, I would say I would like to see the money get immediately allotted to your roster. Any of the revenue sharing money that the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the LA Dodgers, any of those big teams, it has to go to the Pirates roster, not anywhere else. Teams right now use it for a lot of different things. It could be a building in the Dominican Republic. It could be spending on stuff outside of the actual roster. It should go straight to the roster. I've always felt that. I hope they should do that moving forward at minimum. But I think it's going to be a little deeper than that. We'll see at the end of next season. Ryan joins us right now in New Jersey on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Beautiful weekend for sports. People talk about what the best time of the year is. I think, like, this weekend, this time is the best, and it doesn't involve the National Football League, hint, hint. I just watched Jessica of the Penn State Clan Pagula win her match, you know, at the French Open. You got the Memorial Jack tournament. You got baseball. You got, you know, finals starting. And by the way, last year I called and I predicted, I said Bob was going to win the Vezina. I'm going to double down on that prediction this year, even though he, you know, melted in that series.
You think? Well, but that voting already happened. It's going to be Hellebuck again, right?
No. Sorry, not the Vezina. The Conn Smythe.
Oh, the Conn Smythe.
Okay. The Connie, not the Vezina. Yeah, you're right. So I'm going to go with Bob this time. And Bob's going to the Hall of Fame, which I think.
Wow, he's been terrific to the point where they traded the guy they drafted number one. I thought Spencer Knight was going to be a big player, and he's now in Chicago. But go ahead.
Well, I haven't talked to you since Sullivan left, but listen, you got to pick the right goalie because we saw what happened when we got fool's gold with that 16-17 pick. It was the right pick, but, you know, where are they now? Just 6 years of Sidney Crosby out the window because they never had anybody in net. It really comes back to that. But anyway, moving on. So I appreciate everybody's perspective on this. I'm coming from a Red Sox perspective because that's who I followed for about 30 years. So the economics of baseball are changing. I know Anthony in Oakland. I know he's a labor guy, so I'd be interested to hear what he heard about the circus at West Mifflin yesterday. But anyway, whatever. So the deal is, first off, when you try to trade a guy like I'm going to say Paul Skenes, but it's not him. Gerrit Cole. When you try to trade a Gerrit Cole, and every other GM knows that you can't keep him, his value is zero. I mean, the Red Sox actually did that with Mookie Betts. He wasn't going to sign a deal. They traded him for nothing. You know, this is what happens. It's not about having a savvy GM to get more out of these guys when you're dumping them because you're not going to pay them. That doesn't matter what market you're in. It's not going to work. So that goes back to a Bob Nutting's never going to pay a guy thing. So the Pirates suffer because of that. But really what's happening is the economics of baseball are changing because 10, 15, 20 years ago, you had the Steinbrenners, you had, you know, the teams with their own networks. The biggest three were SNY, which is the Mets, Yes, which is the Yankees, and Nesson, which is the Red Sox. They had the three biggest revenue networks, and they were making more money than they could spend off their local broadcasting package, which, you know, MLB doesn't pull and share like the NFL does.
Right.
Well, linear, as you know, linear is going down, and streaming doesn't have the rich advertising revenue that linear did back in the day from Madison Avenue. So that formula is changing even for the rich guys. So John Henry, who's the, you know, multi-billionaire owner of the Red Sox, he is the chairman of the Economic Development Committee in baseball. He is leading the charge to lowering. They're signing prospects dirt cheap on long-term deals and playing them, giving them automatic spots because they see their gravy train drying up too. So when you guys had Bill Madden on, that was a great interview, by the way. Sometimes you need your cranky old New York guy to say.
Yeah, he was good.
When you guys had Bill Madden on, he said the owners are tired of paying, you know, nothing to pocket the money. Well, realize he's getting that from Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen directly. So even those two are saying, well, maybe we're into a cap now. Maybe we're into a floor because we see the economics getting thrown off. And if that's the way to force it to bring the Players Association in line, maybe we'll go along with it. So that is hope for a small mid-market team like the Pirates because the money is just not there for the upper echelon other than the Dodgers. The Dodgers have the sweetest deal because they don't run their own state. I think it's Fox Sports West. The Dodgers, that's why they signed Ohtani that $700 right. million backloaded deal. They don't pay for anything.
No, they get everything. Yeah,
everything is handed to them.
Exactly.
They don't have outlays like even some of the big, you know, East Coast markets do. So, I mean, just to be fair, it's not just about nutting being cheap and getting a better GM. Ben Cherington, by the way, was fired in Boston because he was too tentative to make moves, and they got tired of him, so they fired him. So it wasn't about spending too much. He didn't want to spend the money. He wanted to hold on to hoard prospects. So that was buyer beware when I heard the Pirates were gonna sign him because
that's a good point, Ryan. No, I think that's something certainly to consider. Real quick before I let you go, you say you like the Panthers to win again. You don't see the I think the Oilers are capable.
You know, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. And they are definitely playing a better. They were. I don't know. I just feel like Florida is now the hockey hotbed. Who would have thought this? They are the best run hockey state in the world. Because Tampa did it. We saw it twice, almost three times. They sandbagged the season, kind of, and then they peaked in the playoffs. And the Panthers, to me, look like they kind of sandbagged the season a little bit this year, and now they could just – all they got to win is four games. So I think they really replicated the 21-22 Tampa model, and I just, for some reason, see the Panthers doing it. I love the coach. I love the fact that they're not playing a speed puck possession game. They're going to punch you in the face and then put the puck in the net behind you.
Yeah, they have guys who can do both, but I think so does Edmonton. And to your point about Bobrovsky being, you know, maybe the guy who's going to win that.
Advantage in that.
Yeah, but I tell you what, Stuart Skinner's been better than I thought he could be. And he's been
fine.
But they also limit the amount of shots other teams get really well, better than I thought they could. Thanks, Ryan. I got to run. Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it. We all will. It's going to be fun out there. I just hope the weather's conducive. Phil in Elizabeth Township is on the air right now. What's up, Phil? Thanks for calling 93.7 The Fam.
Hey, Bob. I got two things to say. First, until the Steelers prove to me that they can make it beyond the playoffs, I got the Super Bowl champions jersey, Patrick McCombs, number 15, and I wear it every day. This wish I can make his money. I love being Patrick McCombs, baby.
All right, Phil. And baby, thank you. I appreciate the call. How about Rick and Garfield? You're up next. Go ahead, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Hey, just building on what Anthony from Oakland was suggesting, Nutting isn't going to sell the team, but I'm going to make a prediction that he is going to make an effort to keep Paul Skenes. And the way he can do that is by bringing in a second investor into the team and giving that investor, say, 20% of the team in exchange for a large investment. This just happened within the last year with the Indiana Pacers, where the Simon Group that owns the Pacers.
Yeah, I saw that. Interesting
analogy. Sold a 20% interest in the team to a fellow named Steve Rails, who put up $500 million. And that helps a small market team like the Pacers remain competitive against the big boys. And I think Nutting can do the same thing here. He can invite someone like a Steve Rails in a year or two to purchase 20% of the team. Nutting still has control. Rails has so many other business interests, he has no interest in running a team. And just a little trivia note, his brother is a fellow named Mitch Rails, who is the number two investor in the Washington Commanders behind Josh Harris.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and another little bit of trivia, they're both from Pittsburgh. So
really?
At some point, yeah.
Well, you would think that would be a natural for them to get involved here in some capacity,
well,
then, right?
But somebody has to approach him. And if Nutting had any thought about the future, I think that would be the way to go. And now you've got money. You know, I don't know what the Pirates' market value is, but 20% of that's got to be at least, what, $500 million? And now you've got money to work with.
Well, the market value is $1.4 billion, I think. So.
Okay, so take 20% of that. That's about, $250 million?
But I would, Skeens is going to want double that, if not more.
Yeah, but at least, he's not going to have to reach into his own pocket to do it.
Right.
And I think that's
interesting concept. And you're right. The Pacers example is something. Maybe who knows? I don't know what he's thinking. I don't think anyone does. So
no.
They need help. There's no question about that. Some way, some form. Thank you, Rick from Garfield. Appreciate that. How about the Rails brothers from Pittsburgh? So Jolie, look them up. I'm curious about them now that he brought that up. The Rail. I imagine you spell it R-A-I-L-S. Is that right? I'm not sure what it would be. But we'll find out. We're going to take a break and think about that. We welcome more calls at 412-928-9370. Once again, thank you to PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. We do appreciate their support and sponsorship of this program. More calls until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Bob Pompiani with you. Joel Nelson along for the ride. He'll be handling all the updates as well as the calls at 412-928-9370. So the last caller piqued my interest here. And yes, Stephen Rails, R-A-L-E-S, is a Pittsburgher. His family, they're all involved in different kinds of dealings, including the Donaher Corporation and a film production company. Also, as the caller suggested, Stephen Rails acquired 20% stake in the Indiana Pacers with a possible path, I guess, to control the franchise if the Simon family decided to sell. It's one way to bring more money into your ownership group. Rails is a billionaire, net worth of $7.5 billion. So maybe that is a way for Bob Nutting to figure out more money into the franchise so that he can sign guys like Paul Skeens longer term, although I've looked at it. That's a 99% impossibility unless something of that nature would occur, I suppose. Interesting, though. 412-928-9370. One guy it's taken a toll on, Joel, is Chuck in Uniontown. Although he must be uplifted a little bit by what happened in Arizona. And then I'd like to get, Chuck, your call on last night's umpire calamity.
Well, first of all, Bob, thank you. Second of all, remember they did that pirate comeback in Arizona on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday belatedly. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob, quickly, that speaks for itself. That was a totally, I could personally think that young rookie umpire may have been intimidated by the sellout crowd, I mean, there was a sellout there in San Diego last night. But that, Bob, you can't get any more heinous than that. No way was that a strike. No way.
Well, Jerry Meals would be the more heinous example, I think, given that, remember that slide in that 19-inning game in Atlanta?
Yeah.
That was more obvious.
Anyway, Bob,
but this leads to the ABS system. Would you want to see that installed in baseball next year, Chuck?
No, I'll tell you the truth. No, because, Bob, I like the human element in the game. Calls, over a period of time, calls are going to even out. You remember, the baseball's been played for 100 and some years. There's been bad calls and bad calls and bad calls. Yeah, the game is still belongs to human beings. I mean, I can see the other side of it, too. Like Jim Leland used to say, we want to get it right. But I still like the human element myself.
Yeah, and I don't think you're not going to eliminate umpires. You're just going to give them a system where they could challenge a ball or strike. And the debate is how many challenges should a team get with the, if last night you needed 20 each because he was all over the place with that strike zone.
Oh, Bob, that the umpire, that was not major league. That's all I'm going to say about it. But there's two other quick things I want to ask you. Number one, who would be Pirate All-Stars in your opinion at this point? Skeens would, I think, have to make it.
Oh, absolutely he would.
How about O'Neill Cruz?
There are going to be a lot of outfielders.
Yeah, you know, that's
the only thing about it. If he's playing the outfield, he's got to compete with all those other guys.
Yeah. I guess there's really none of the position players are worthy of it. And the last thing I want to ask you, Panthers-Oilers, who wins?
Well, I love the Panthers, but I think in this series I'm going to take the Oilers. I think they're playing a team concept that I haven't seen from them since, you know, they lost to the Panthers last year. I think they learned a lot what it took, and I think that served them well in this run-up to this game and this series. Dallas is an explosive team that has, you know, 12, 20 goal scorer guys. They limited them so difficult. They made it difficult on Dallas to even get second shots, let alone first shots. So I suspect that the Oilers are going to get their time in the sun on a rematch here. So it'll be a 7-game series. It's going to be tough.
Could be Connor McDavid.
Yeah, he's playing at such a big level right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Who Thanks. Has home ice advantage?
It's Edmonton. Game one is Wednesday night in Edmonton, so that'll help him.
Do you have a favorite for Penguin coach?
I like Mitch Love, the assistant out of Washington under Carberry. He strikes me as someone who knows how to, you know, deal with maybe the elite players, but also the younger players, and have a good mesh there. So
there are a lot. Tuchet?
What's that?
How about Rick Tuchet?
Well, he's with Philly. He signed a deal for a 5-year deal. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Chuck. Belated happy birthday. Hopefully, we'll get another win for you tonight. So we go from Uniontown Chuck to Pittsburgh Chuck. Pittsburgh Chuck joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, what's going on, Chuck?
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I enjoy listening to your show, and it's
Thank
awesome.
You. Appreciate it.
And I'm actually calling in to discuss, you know, the situation with the Pirates. It's been a long time, you know, we need to get rid of Bob Nutting as a owner, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to get him out of there. But, you know, I mean, we have a pretty solid team. Skeens, you know, McCutcheon, O'Neill. Like, they're very good players, and they deserve nothing more than to get a chance for a championship or at least a playoff win. You know, like, it's – and I don't know what it's going to take for us to get nothing, you know, to get going. But, like, he's just, like, money hungry. He doesn't really care about the team. He doesn't want to invest any money into it. So what do you think?
By the statement he made at the beginning of the season where he talked about, I've given them all the resources – if he believes all the resources are a less than $90 million payroll, maybe even less than $85 million payroll, those are not enough resources. If that's how you view it, then you're not giving them any chance. And it's tough to be a general manager if you're limited in how much you can spend. And Ben Cherington didn't do enough of the right stuff. He should have spent it all on offense with two big players and forget all these other add-ons that they got. But you're right, they have potential, especially pitching, with Chandler and Skeens 1-2. You talk about those two guys alone, you add Jared Jones when healthy, and Keller, and even Falter, and they're going to have a really good starting staff. They missed one opportunity this offseason. They better step up the next offseason because they need as much hitting as they can get, and knowing that you're not going to have to score all that many runs. But when you're scoring 2.9 runs per game, you ain't going to win a lot of the tough games. And Mitch Keller is a prime example. He's 1-7 despite a 2.92 ERA in his last 10 starts or something like that. So that's what it's going to take. Anything else, Chuck?
Also, I wanted to chime in about the Steelers situation. Like, I'm kind of over the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, I'm pretty sure he's going to land here, but – when I listen to this show with Pona and Mahler, like, they're talking about it all the time. Like, they said that he's been seen in Pittsburgh, like, in numerous places.
Yeah,
he's bought a country club membership.
No,
he's been
not right.
Apparently he's been looking into, like, buying a house somewhere. I'm not sure.
Why would you buy a house if you're him? You're going to be here for 1 year. Why would you join a country club if you're going to be here for 1 year?
That makes a lot of sense. Agreed, agreed, for sure. But, you know, this is just hearsay, so I don't know. What do you think as far as Rodgers? What do you think we're going to do?
I still think he's going to end up here, and I hope they protect him the right way, because if they don't, it could be not worth signing him. I'm also curious, since he's gone on record as saying that he would actually play for $10 million a year. I hope that's the contract that the Steelers would get him then, $10 million for 1 year. But I suspect it's higher than that, so I don't know. There's a part of me who wants to see young guys play and look to next year's draft. But if he can come in and, you know, they're still looking for a number two receiver. There's been a lot of talk about guys like Chris Olave. You heard Jonnu Smith rumors, which I think were generated by the agent to Adam Schefter. A lot of this is just stuff they throw out as favors.
Right.
So to try to help a client or whatever the case may be. So I think he'll end up here. I don't know what – I think it's going to be difficult for him to play all 17 games. That's what I know. If he's protected, I still think he can throw the ball down the field accurately, and it can make a difference. Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, I think we could ride the – yeah, good talking to you, Bob, and you have a great weekend.
You do the same. Appreciate the call. We'll move along to Chris in Monongahela. We have Chuck now, a Chris in the Monongahela Valley. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Bob, I work for a company that Bob Nutting purchased. So I had some firsthand experience. I'm glad I'm out of there. I can tell you from experience, he will never let the team win. And I'm going to make a real quick analogy to explain my perspective. You remember the old TV show Taxi?
Yes.
Okay, there was one episode in it. They had a vending machine in the taxi garage. It had apples. They sold fresh apples. And Bobby bemoaned that the apples were never fresh. And Tony said, well, nobody buys the apples, so they were fresh when they first put them in. But by the time we actually buy them, they all get rotten. So Bobby says, well, why don't we just buy all the rotten apples and collect our money, buy them, they'll get the fresh apples. And Tony thinks for a second and says, because if we do, he thinks that they'll think that we are happy buying rotten apples. And that's Bob Nutting's business plan. He thinks that if that stadium will fill about the same amount, whether he spends, $75 million? Or $275 on salary.
So well, he's been proven to be right from that point of view. People show up, and I get it. I take my grandson and my granddaughters to games. I think it's still a fun night out for them. They learn about the game, but that's not the reason they should be there. The reason should be because you're watching a winning team or somebody contending. And I think if he's not thinking that way, then we're all in trouble.
What do people say when they go to the game? They always say, "Beautiful stadium. We had a good time at the beautiful stadium." People see, you see people post on social media, very few of them ever say, hey, we actually won, or, it's the stadium, it's the draw.
I just think he wants to do it in a salary that doesn't make sense for a roster. Thanks, Chris and the Monongahela Valley. I appreciate it. I think you can't live like that. You have to be willing to go out and lose some money once in a while or spend more to make it happen. And, if he's to me, a shrewd businessman wouldn't understand how much you can make while winning. Winning or contending brings in much more money than anything else. The best promotional item is not fireworks. It's not bobbleheads. It's not anything. It's not two-for-one nights. It's winning. People will spend crazy money on winners. They always do. I look at teams that are selling out. They raise ticket prices, shirt prices, merchandise, everything. If you're hot, people buy the merchandise. It's as simple as that. So there's a lot more to be made if you spend more money, I think. Jake joins us right now in Brentwood. What's up, Jake? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Good morning, buddy. Good afternoon, whatever it is.
Good night, too, Jake.
These Pirate fans, the organization is a joke, but the fans are starting to become a joke, too. I mean, they act like it was the bottom of the ninth in the World Series. They got a bad call. Okay, they're still going to miss the playoffs by 35 to 40 games. So get on with it. The team's terrible. And then the last caller said, the team's solid.
They have two players that potentially, and Skeens and O'Neal Cruz.
It's out there. He's not – O'Neal Cruz can bat. He's a career DH. That's all he is. He's terrible in the field. Absolutely.
But you got to give him some slack. He's in a new position, really. He hasn't played a full year in center field. They put him out there. I'm willing to wait on that. If I get the kind of 30-30 bat I should get out of him.
Yeah, but I just think he'll be moved to a team that just needs a DH, and that's what he's going to end up playing in his career. That's what he's going to be known for. It's not going to be his fielding. I mean, the team
is terrible. All right. Well, we'll see. They got to change everything. They do, and they have time. They have a little bit of a window here with Skeen still here, and Chandler coming up.
This team's trash. Thanks, just Jake. Replace Chandler with Skeens. That's all.
Yeah, but they can have them both up here at the same time, along with.
They won't do it though.
Well, they're going to have to do it at some point. He's pitching too well down there. It may delay them, but he has to be up here at some point.
Wait, why did they bring Burrows up instead of him at this point? What was that
again,
about?
It's probably Burrows signed. Fans, it's probably signed to some sort of money thing. I'm not sure because he should be up here by now. They both actually Burrows. I there's some things I like about him too. I hope he can be a contributor. But
yeah, Burrows going to be good. I mean, he was the Pirates farm league pitcher
right,
of the year,
and then he got surgery, and that changed everything. Yep. But all right, Jake, I got to move along. Thank you. Jimmy in Lawrenceville wants to talk about the strike zone and maybe a system that can change it. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What's up, man?
I'm kind of confused. People call in and they complain about the balls and strike calls all the time, and they say they like the human element. So I'm not sure what they're complaining about, if that's what they actually like.
This won't remove the human element. It's still going to be there. It just makes the human element more accountable. That's all.
Well, I'm just, you know, in 2025, we have the technology to call balls and strikes with a computer, get it done accurately, have the umpire still be back there to do things, file tips, all that other kind of stuff, safe and out at home. So there's no reason to have a challenge system and try to figure out a specific number that works. Because if you got Angel Hernandez up there, who recently retired, thank God, we're calling balls and strikes, you may need 100 challenges in a game to get the game right. When we have technology that will keep the game moving fast and get the calls, balls and strikes correct, and not take the bat out of a guy's hands like Davis, who's trying his hardest. You could see the disappointment and the real effort. And I was really impressed with the way that the Pirates reacted to that, especially McCutchen, because I haven't seen fire out of this team for a few years where they actually seem to care. And that's the first time I saw them actually seem to really care and be upset and show some emotion. And I think that's important as well.
Yeah, I mean, they were. And I think under Donnie Kelly, there's a little bit more of a fire here and an urgency, despite where they are in the standings. I mean, he inherited that as far as his managerial time. But, but you're right. I mean, there's a way to do it. I think this is the first step toward that goal, maybe. But they're not going to immediately come in and put the entire system that way. I think you're going to see this system next year. They'll make enough cases because I've seen not just the Pirates and other teams. I mean, the Padres had some terrible calls again. There are going to be enough evidence to suggest they need to make this change.
And then as far as, people calling in asking for nutting to how do we get rid of him? I mean, the guy's making money. He's not going to sell the team. It's risk-reward for him. He can go out and sign guys for another $40 million. If those two guys get hurt or they don't perform, which does happen, then he's out $40 million and he gets no extra money. He has very little incentive because of the way baseball works to actually go out and try to spend more money, because if he does, he may end up – look, if he made $40 million last year, he spends $40 more this year. Yeah, the sales might go up if they do well, if the guy doesn't get hurt, if. It's a risk-reward system. So if he goes out and spends an extra $40 and he doesn't make any money this year and the guys don't perform or that some other teams in the division do so well that
– But this is why, Jimmy, the system needs to change. And this is why you have to force him to spend more based on a cap a system. But, again, it's going to be a tough fight and it's going to be ugly, I think. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah. We have Brian in Brookline, Ronnie in Munhall. You guys will be next up. We got to take a short break. And got a headline coming up with Joel Lee Nelson right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're rolling along here, final segment of the show at 412-928-9370. This week it's the Memorial Tournament at Jack's Place. That's beautiful Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio. We start today with Ben Griffin, who's been on the roll. He won last week down in Texas. Nick Taylor, both 7-under par. Akshay Bhatia, you'll see these guys at Oakmont, -5. Scottie Scheffler lurking around at 4-under, then Jordan Spieth, who put together a late round yesterday. That's a tough place to play. It's also a good way to, get some tough holes out of the way and in preparation of the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Very similar kind of conditions there in Muirfield. So we'll see what goes on there. I'm very anxious to see how this thing works here and what the final score may be for a winning score after 72 holes at Oakmont Country Club for the U.S. Open, which begins the week of June 9th, which is just coming up. Not this Monday, but a week later. In the meantime, let's go out to Brian in Brookline, who joins us. What's up, Brian? How are you today?
Fantastic, Bob. A little chilly, but...
we're going to see some sun. It's coming. It's definitely coming. We need it.
Yeah. So here's my question. So, Bob, you've been in sports a long time. You've been with Mike Tallman, Omar Khan, Mr. Rooney. Your gut feeling, I'm going to unpack it for you this way. Your gut feeling, do you believe the Steelers really know
what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Just your personal gut on this, Bob.
I think they have what they believe is an agreement, but that doesn't mean Aaron Rodgers can just walk away. So I don't think they have anything firm, you know, down that they think he's going to be. I think they think he's going to be here. No, I don't think they have a complete confirmation that he's going to be here.
Okay, but like in any sports franchise, I'm sure you're going to have especially at this level, gets no higher. I think you're going to have a contingency plan. So if he doesn't sign by a certain time, they're going to stop the wish list and go after somebody else. Is that how you understand
it? Well, I don't know who else there is to go after at this point. You know, a lot of people have brought up veteran guys around the league, but I think at that point, if he doesn't come here, I still think he will. But if he doesn't, then I think they're just going to turn it over to Mason Rudolph, and they're going to have Will Howard. They'll bring in somebody else, but he won't be somebody to contend as a starter, I don't think, unless they make a trade, you know, with Atlanta. And I don't know if I want to see that either.
No. And I'm not okay with
Mason Rudolph. I've said this from the beginning, Brian. I really thought they should have just kept Justin Fields around for a two-year deal. That's all it is. You may tap something there that triggers a much better passing game to go along with athletic abilities. I think there's a lot of upside there. There is no upside with Rodgers other than his best days are behind him. He still can adequately pass the ball when given time, but there's more upside with Justin Fields.
Absolutely, and I agree with you, and I'll just leave you with this, but it takes two to tango. There had to be something there that Fields didn't want to come. I mean, he didn't sign, so, I mean, we don't know the schematics, but it takes two to dance. Like Mike Tomlin said, he needs a dancing partner.
But I think that was their plan A going into this whole thing, and then once that didn't happen, all of a sudden they made the signing with Mason Rudolph, and he signed for what obviously was backup money, I think, at $4 million a year. I like Mason a lot. I think he has potential to be something if given a legitimate string. We saw that in those three games 2 years ago where he led them into the playoffs, and they had to get wins in all three of them, including a trip to Seattle, which was never easy for them. So, you know, I think that's at this point that would be the backup thing, and they'll bring up somebody else just to add to the roster. But and then they have a draft next year where I'm sure they believe they can be in position to take a quarterback in next year's draft.
You're right. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Brian, thank you. So who knows? The longer it goes, the more, you know, subjectivity comes into play here, more people. And already a lot of the insiders nationally thought this would be over by now, thought he'd be here by now, but it's not happening. And he's had time to go and fly all over the country to be on podcasts everywhere. He went to the Kentucky Derby. If he has time to do that, and I'm sorry, he should have time to go to the team and tell him his intentions. Even if he doesn't show up for any of these, you know, mini camps, OTAs, whatever. I don't think most people expect him to be there anyway. He should. In my view, coming to a new team without your handpicked offensive coordinator, you should show up. You should be here. You should take part because it's a big year. If it's going to be your last, you want it to be big. You know, I think at the beginning of this, he was holding out hope that Minnesota would just, you know, crack and bring him in. But that's not happening now. So we'll see. It is a story that I never thought we'd be dragging on this long, but it is dragging on this long. But they have, you know, still other things to deal with here moving on into, you know, we're only in May still, although June's right here. You get into July and training camp, there need to be more answers to some of these things. Like, who is your number two receivers behind Metcalf? I was okay with keeping George Pickens around if they thought that they could handle, you know, his, and they thought he could, for 1 year at least, bring a mature attitude in here, but apparently they didn't because he would have been a nice compliment. Two guys going down the field with that much talent, man, that opens things up for everybody. It makes everybody better. And then you would hope that he would be mature enough to realize that, hey, I got a year that I could put up big numbers, and if I do, I'm going to get a $30 million contract. If I don't, I'm going to end up like Chase Claypool, you know, or somebody like that who wastes the opportunity that you have. So I think George Pickens and maybe Dallas realize that. They're taking a chance that he could be that guy opposite C.D. Lamb. Can he? We'll find out. If he whines about anything, then, you know, again, people know about this. It's a small world with all this social media stuff. People will find out, and it costs you money. And I'm sure whoever's advising George Pickens should remind him, this is on you, right, what happens right now. 412-928-9370. We got Big Al in Robinson. Haven't talked to him in a while. How you doing, Big Al?
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I got a real quick for you. I was going to games 67 years before you were born. I was I'm 81. Let me wrap it up.
81? You're going strong still.
Yeah, I just got the Ozempic shot. I lost 60 pounds. Now, let me explain something to you. Let me explain something to you. Mike Tomlin has no business being the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me tell you why. Belichick won 8 Super Bowls, got fired after 2 years. But here's the problem. When you go 8 years without winning a playoff game, you don't deserve to get $12 million a year for 4 years. It's ridiculous.
I think it's more than $12 million.
Well, let me explain something to you. I'm going to put my money where my mouth's at. All you guys got opinions, which you get paid for, and the listeners. But I'm going to put my money where my mouth's at. Anybody out there, I'm going to lay $10,000 to $5,000. You can hold the money. If Mike Tomlin, as long as he's the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he'll never win a playoff game. If you happen to win the $10,000, I'll bet you another $10,000 he'll win the Super Bowl. That's my deal. He's horrible. He got a guy with 7-10 record calling plays. It's 13 inches. He throws the ball 70 yards down the field. Then you're on a 4-yard line, first and goal. He throws 2 out of the end zone. This guy is horrible.
All right, Big Al. I think there's somebody out there who probably will take that. Thank you for the call. And if you do, call in. And Big Al, I'm sure he has a lot of cash at hand. He got the Ozempic shot. How about that? Lost a lot of weight. A lot of people are doing that. I still think there's a more natural way to do it. I'm not willing to take all those kinds of injections. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. I do appreciate all of your banter, your calls, your perspectives. Love doing it every Saturday with you when I get a chance. Join us on Pomp and Joe this week, Monday. We'll have a lot to get into, and Joe will probably be playing some golf. I know he's played in the bad weather. I know I have too, so I'm sure we'll have some terrible stories to tell you about that. But I want to wrap it up by telling you that I appreciate our sponsors also. PNC Bank, make today the day. Brilliantly boring. That's how they do business, and they get it done better than any banking service you can find. Check out their virtual wallet. Number One Cochran, ride in style, go one better with Number One Cochran. Tune into our Number One Cochran Sports Showdown coming up tomorrow night and every Sunday night at 11:35. And Shandorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Now it's time for Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, showers here and there, possible thunderstorm. High of 60, but rain will be moving out. Tonight, clear and chilly, low of 45. And then Sunday, believe it or not, partly sunny. We begin to heat up on what should be a week of some 80-degree temperatures. Tomorrow's high will be 69. That is your weather. Joel Nelson, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Coming up next, it's Jason Mackey. He will keep you entertained for the next 4 hours right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.